Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of our new podcast series dedicated to women working in the field of sustainability. I'm Tonya Plachetniuk, your host today. And today we planned a special episode in celebration of International Women's Day to kick off our series. We've gathered three exceptional women that work on advancing sustainability in different functions in our bank. We'll be exploring their backgrounds, their roles, their recent projects, and ultimately their ambitions for the future. It's a real privilege to have with us today Caroline Haas, who leads our global climate and ESG capital markets team, Dr. Maria Carvalho, the head of climate economics and data for NatWest Group, and Supriya Sopti, who is a climate and purpose lead for NatWest Group. So without further ado, let's start by learning a little bit more about the background of the brilliant women we will be talking to today. So turning first to you, Supriya, could you share a bit about your personal journey and how you found your way into the field of sustainability?
Sure, Tanya, I'll make a start. So I was born and brought up in India, and I've been in the UK for nearly two decades, most of which I've spent in banking and working on various roles across finance, risk, regulatory, as well as leading large-scale change programs. My journey in sustainability started in 2019 when I picked up the role of climate reporting for NatWest Group. And since then, the role has grown, and now I deal with climate measurement, transition planning, as well as wider sustainability agenda.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Supriya. And yourself, Caroline.
Well, I think I've had sort of an interesting journey. I started out in finance, very hardcore balance sheet restructuring, looking at M&A transactions, financing those globally, which then led to a career break where I got very involved in the third sector, spent a lot of time looking at social programs, particularly in disadvantaged neighborhoods in London, and helping those education programs for children in the primary school sector. Everything from, you know, looking at math programs, science programs, to music. And I think that, you know, gave me a, I'd say, definitely an inside look of what goes on a day-to-day basis. As I was thinking of returning to this wonderful industry, I raised the question in an interview with NatWest, what are you doing in sustainability and ESG? I think they were almost shocked that someone who'd been out of the industry for so long was actually so interested in the topic. I had had the advantage also of joining an advisory council on biodiversity. And so I think I was very attuned to that. My chemistry degree helps, and we spend a tremendous amount of time in nature generally as a family. So I would say the combination of these things have really helped me obviously now build out in a more professional perspective and actually helping our customers develop their own strategies around climate and ESG.
Brilliant. Thank you, Caroline. And Maria, over to you.
I smile at some of the intersections. So I also was born up in India, and I grew up in Saudi Arabia and Canada. And each time I was very passionate about international development as a child, and that's what I did in my undergrad. Caroline and I went to the same undergrad in Canada. And when I left that undergrad, when you do international development, you go in there thinking you're going to save the world, and you leave there thinking anything you do is going to be compromised. So I needed something that had a lot more, that was a lot more black or white, or dare I say green and brown, on clear of what's right or wrong to do. And I did a master's at LSC in 2006, which was actually the time when Sir Nicholas Stern presented the Stern Review, which is a very groundbreaking report that took climate change out of a purely science focus on international cooperation into a policy focus. And I was privileged enough to see it being presented. And that really kicked it out for me in my master's. And I've been working on climate change ever since in terms of looking at and tracking climate financial flows into the developing world, and then thinking about what government policy is doing in terms of enabling decarbonization. And so I went to do my PhD in that, and at LSE back again. And then after that, I worked in consulting for different climate solutions companies. So this is actually I call myself more of a real economy decarbonization expert, and the bank has been kind enough to hire me in, and it's been a really great role. And being able to work with Supriya and Caroline and thinking about how does a bank shift its balance sheet to enable real economy decarbonization.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's really, really fascinating to hear from the three of you. And if I can just ask you to tell us a bit more about your current role, and especially what inspires you about your day-to-day, and how does your role fit into the wider sustainability ecosystem right now, which is massive, really. So maybe Caroline, starting from you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Tonya. I guess I have the great pleasure of leading a great team who is very much made up of a much younger generation than myself and who is passionate about this topic. So I would say that is probably my inspiration every day. We have two children who are just starting university who make it very apparent why this is such an important piece of the puzzle and what we need to do. So I think my job on a day-to-day basis deals with our customers and how they actually embed climate and ESG into their ongoing strategies. What does their decarbonization pathways look like? And most importantly, how we can support them through various funding, financing, derivative transactions. And really, once you get into the financial materiality of this, it actually starts to hit home. And so we spend a lot of time actually talking to their senior management. I've presented to some of these boards on why they should care about this. And, you know, as much as we should talk about it from a philanthropic point of view and why it's important sort of for our own individual purpose, I think at the end of the day, this is going to affect every company, every sovereign, every financial institution, and to be honest, every consumer. As we look forward. And the more you can actually bring that home to them from a financial perspective, the more actually people start to embed this for the long term. We talk about future-proofing companies, we future-proof businesses, and when you think about the exponential impact that climate is going to have, and if we think about the wider piece around biodiversity, you know, there's not, no one is going to be unaffected. We start to see it now. People have talked about it in Maria's case for many, many years. But I think as you bring it home and put some dollars and cents to it, it actually makes it much more interesting and why people should care about it. So I think, to be honest, that's probably our biggest role that we have to play.
Thanks, Caroline. Now I can only echo that, and that's why I'm so happy to be part of your team, actually. Yes. Same questions, Maria and yourself. What's your current role? What inspires you, and how does your role fit into the wider ecosystem?
So my current role, the title, as you said earlier, is Head of Climate Economics and Data, which I laugh because it's the nerdiest title I've ever had. I think it can only get nerdier if you put AI at the end of it, which mercifully we haven't. The interesting thing about it is I'm actually a qualitative researcher, but I've worked so much with quantitatives in defining what is the issue we're trying to solve for. How do we assess? I normally am the front runner in speaking to external stakeholders, internal stakeholders to really understand and define the question. And then I work with quants on how do we figure it out in terms of data. I've been doing a lot of research where we have that kind of relationship. So I'm aware of some of the data sets and also the external governance that shape basically both governance on climate and how it leads to what we need to externally disclose and what are the expectations, and then helping internally think through where can we help, in this case, actually form the data sets, I would say, both at the customer level and then at the top-down level to think through very strategically how can we answer the questions we need to answer. So I'd say I'm a more of a strategic advisor. I work with Supriya, you know, in the top-down level. I work with the teams that do work with our customers, and it's really thinking through how you bring through answering the key questions we need to be able to answer. I would say roughly it is what are the activities or financing we need to stop doing because it just goes way out of not supporting the climate transition. What are the ways in we can assess new players or new solutions? and how what should be our strategic approach towards that? And then how do we support our existing customers in accessing those solutions in a way that works for them? And what has been heartening is I can see that from, you know, a real economy decarbonization perspective, what I've really benefited from being in the bank is actually thinking about how finance thinks. And that's actually been a very humbling exercise. I think I have a lot to say now to externals who think that this is easy about actually, these are the things you need to appreciate about fiduciary duty, about risk-taking, about, you know, responsibility and doing it in a responsible way to help, you know, kind of navigate that internal and external expectations about how we answer the questions we need to answer and develop solutions that actually work both for what our strategic ambition is on climate and then also for our customers.
Thank you so much, Maria. And Supriya, over to you.
Yeah, I'll probably continue from where Maria left in terms of, I'm a qualified chartered accountant, right? So numbers fascinate me. And in terms of inspiration and personal satisfaction, I think what we are thriving towards is having climate embedded within decision-making. So, you know, we all talk about profits, losses, and in banking, we talk about lending, deposits, etc. Seeing gradually carbon becoming a part of decision-making is a massive kind of boost that we are working towards. And gradually that is happening. So in terms of my day-to-day role, I, very simply put, am responsible for assessing the carbon impact that we have from an adverse perspective on our lending, from our lending and investment, as well as working on our transition planning. So looking at the forward-looking piece and seeing how do we support the change in the shape of our balance sheet to support decarbonization. I'm working with Caroline's team as well as other business teams, providing them data so we can embed climate within the decisions we make, within the conversations we have with our customers, and help them to decarbonize and in turn decarbonize our own balance sheet. So that's really in terms of my role as well as the wider part. In terms of broader, I also sit on the board of a charity, and I'm slowly getting involved in their environmental journey as well, learning from what I do within the bank. So that's quite interesting how, while it's a shift in the sector, the climate impact across different organizations and different sectors is similar, right? So we all have a role to play, and we can do that through guiding our customers, through working externally. And as Maria said, we're collaborating externally as well. So there's lots of opportunities, and I think we all play our roles and parts in different ways.
Yeah, super. Thank you, Supriya. And maybe just building on that, if I could ask you if you can share an example of a personal or business-related initiative that you've been particularly excited about or passionate about. And obviously, sustainability field isn't easy. So if you faced any challenges during that process, like what were the challenges and how did you get to overcome them?
Yes, as I was saying, I guess in the last 2 years, the thing that I spend most of my time on is the transition plan. So obviously at NatWest, we set our climate ambitions in 2020, and we've been working towards them to support our customers, you know, work with other partners, et cetera, and to decarbonize our balance sheet. And then the obvious step from setting those ambitions was to start reporting of what we are doing against them. And that involves assessing what we are doing now and what we plan to do in the future with our customers. That's through providing products to see how the external environment is developing, how the technologies are developing. Maria mentioned AI. There's a lot of, you know, carbon-related technologies coming in that will help with decarbonization, how they develop, and obviously how our customers respond. So as you can see, it's a very complex field. And in terms of the challenges, data, methodologies, and assessing what climate means and carbon means based on today's actions, let alone, you know, looking ahead 10 years, 20 years to 2030 and 2050. So it's been a learning journey, but I think what we have done is, and I've been quite keen to do that, is to work with the business teams, right? Because transition something isn't something that, you know, a team can sit on the side and do a lot of scenarios and come up with a lot of modeling and say, this is how we will solve transition. It involves working with the business, working with the customers, working with external partners, kind of supporting policy development, technology development, et cetera, and educating internally and externally about the impact that climate has. And I think it's great to see that we do have data. We have been improving on our external reporting, you know, year on year since we started to do our climate report, and publishing more and more data on emissions. But we are quite clear To say that we have a lot of dependencies on good climate data, on methodologies that are developing, et cetera, to guide our transition and guide our decision making. And that's an agenda that I'm really passionate about and will continue to work towards that.
Thank you, Supriya. And congratulations, big congratulations on going through this journey. I know it hasn't been easy. And Maria, same questions to you.
I've thought it's been actually quite a privilege to be able to understand and to work with the climate leads across the bank, like Supriya and Caroline, to really understand the lessons of implementation, not just for us, but then to feed back to all those who are developing the guidance. Hey, listen, these are the lessons that we've come up across. How do we work together as an industry to make it a lot more clear and creating those industry collaborations to make it easier and to accelerate faster, while at the same time making some strategic choices that we have to be absolutely transparent about as part of governance. But more than that, it's just been, you know, this is going to be the biggest reallocation of capital in order for us to actually move finance in such a way that enables vast amounts of real economy decarbonization. And quite frankly, the way things are going in the science is that we have to think about adaptation and think about it in these critical ways. And so, you know, the rewiring of thinking and the rewiring, it's both in some ways, I can understand for people why it's terrifying. But I also find it incredibly inspiring, because what we're dreaming of is a world that is so much better. It's a lot more cleaner. It's a lot more resilient. It addresses things on social issues. And if we don't get this right, it has a lot of consequences. And I don't take that as something that I don't say I'm an optimist or a pessimist. I'm just determined. Like, I'm just determined to do everything I can and work with people who are willing to push as hard as we can to make this happen. And at least I know, you know, when I die, I did everything I could. And that's kind of what drives me, is that constant learning, iterating, sharing, and finding the next set of solutions. And I always joke, like, I can't wait to retire and go to the University of Bologna, where I can talk about the war stories of trying to make this happen. And Caroline and Supriya are going to be teaching alongside me.
Actually, looking into the future a little bit more now, how do you see the landscape of sustainability evolving going forward? And what role would you like to play in that evolution? And more specifically, is there any goal or initiative that you are really eager to pursue or help advance? And maybe Supriya, starting from you.
Yeah, as an accountant, I get terribly excited with the standards and consistency. So I think it's great to see that we now have a lot of sustainability standards, and specifically the you know, the sustainability standards from the International Sustainability Boards. As a standard boards, and what that will do is drive a level of consistency across not only financial institutions but the wider industry, because we now seem to have lots of measurements and lots of ways to calculate the same thing. Because data isn't perfect, we're all applying different judgments and methodologies, and what that may result in a few years is we're all reporting slightly different numbers for the same thing, because it's based on different bases. So I think these standards, as they evolve, they'll bring a certain level of consistency, a certain level of enabling decision making externally, and comparability across organizations, so we can actually start seeing some wider decision making flow rather than being organization specific, because I think that's what we need. We need organizations to come together and work together to help decarbonize. So I guess we participate in a lot of consultations when these standards are developing and feed into that. So as we have more of these standards come through, it's about then developing internal capabilities and reporting to make sure we start aligning with these standards and become part of that, you know, group of organizations that are working towards them.
Yeah, thanks so much, Supriya. As a chartered accountant, I can definitely relate to that. People always ask me how come I'm so excited about accounting and sustainability standards, but here I am, can totally share.
Can't help ourselves.
And on that note, perhaps Caroline, what about yourself? What's your ambition for the future?
So, you know, it's interesting when you think about where we've come from, and there was sort of that more generic kind of term ESG, which was quite nebulous, to be honest. At the end of the day, it's a metrics. I think what's really exciting is to see how people are really shifting that discussion around, I would say, transition, decarbonization, nature and biodiversity, interlinkages, resilience, adaptation, thinking about physical risk in a very different way than we have in the past. And there's still lots of learning to be done, but I think it has become much more quantifiable. And so in a way, it makes it more understandable, particularly as we go away from our sort of little nuclear world and go to the outside world and start to explain why this is actually so important. You see it in the builds, infrastructures coming in. I mean, when you just think of the trillions of dollars that is expected to be invested in infra over the next 5 years, it's fabulous. And I think this is ultimately going to really help people's lives in the long term as well, because you cheapen the energy costs, it reduces the pollution. So there's a whole plethora that continues in this. Now, obviously, there's going to be bumps along the way. Regulation is important to really focus people's minds and ambitions. But nevertheless, it's not the only reason. There's a lot of, you know, alternative reasons why we're doing this. And the regulations just help guide it. And it comes back to Supriya's point around standardization. We need standardization, otherwise we're not running in the same direction, but nevertheless, or we're not measuring it the same way. But nevertheless, I think that is really exciting. And right now we're a little bit on a lot of capacity building. But ultimately, over time, what we do need to get to is a reduce of consumption, right? We can't do this without actually being quite cognizant over the long term that we need to either get on with less or do it better, but in many ways is kind of taking that balance. And over time, these types of really material financial measures are coming in. And we had it today in a meeting, actually, where we were talking about revenue generation versus cost reduction on some of the activities that they were doing. And so I think this is where I very much see the future, both for companies as well as for consumers. And I'd say that's, you know, where we're really driving out to right now. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Caroline. And Maria, finally, over to you.
Yeah. You know something, there's a Mark Twain quote that has been coming back to me over and over again. And it's, because I can't say it off the top of my head, it's, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." And the reason why I say that is that I get really excited in proving to people that the transition is coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And helping them to see those key tipping points is really important. And so there's now so much in terms of evidence and data. For example, I remember when I started in 2006, everyone was laughing at me at the idea that the UK would be out of coal at some point, or it needed to be out of coal at some point. And it's been almost 10 years later, we were having coal-free generation days. And there were very specific policy instruments that enabled that to occur. And so it's, again, I know I've been at this for a long time, and I like actually demonstrating evidence and stories to show actually the transition is happening. And it's helping convince people that it's not only happening, it's absolutely in our interest to be at the forefront of it. So right now, in some ways, my role is to challenge their way of thinking about this in such a way that it is very, very clear that actually you may have thought of and looked at these sectors in a certain way, but in the same way as coal power generation is now out, what are those next places, not just in terms of what we need to start exiting, because they're not part of the solution and it's in fact inhibiting the solution, but what are the things that actually will provide solutions?
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Maria. We are heading towards the conclusion for the episode. And as a special section of this series, we wanted to give you all an opportunity to ask our next guests, and you don't know who our next guests are, a question about their experiences in the field of sustainability. So if you have one such question to ask, please do share. Maybe Maria, you want to come first?
Yeah, no, I would love to. So I've been thinking a lot about this on what I call the floor mat experience or in the ring experience. It's based on a favorite, anyone who's listened to Brené Brown and her discussions on shame and resilience, but it's basically when you're at the floor mat or when the dust is in your face and you've been in the ring fighting and you're at the bottom, What is the thing that gets you to stand up and keep fighting on? That's my question.
Amazing question. Thank you, Maria. And Supriya?
I think it's kind of similar. So what is your top challenge and what is your key motivator to keep going? And would be my question.
Thank you, Caroline. Hello.
I'll take a slightly different stance on this. I think we're inspired by many people. And so I think what would be really helpful is to ask the question, what is either your favorite book or podcast on this topic? Because there is a plethora of them, and it's always great to hear what's out there.
Thank you, Caroline. Amazing. We'll make sure that those questions will be asked. And huge, huge thank you to Caroline, Maria, and Supriya for sharing their insights with us today. It's been a truly fascinating conversation showcasing the diverse expertise and passion that drives sustainability in the financial sector. Thank you to everyone for listening in to our first episode of the Women in Sustainability podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and that you stay tuned for future episodes released on our channel. We'll continue to explore inspiring stories from specialists at NatWest and beyond and the impact of women in sustainability. Happy International Women's Day, everyone, and I hope to see you again next time. Thank you.